Nothing can match the presence of the Lord. His presence. Now, we don't base our relationship on God with a feeling, but I feel His presence. And I'm happy. I'm glad to tell you that, because He can reach down and He can touch you to where you can feel. And that's His desire. When my wife got born again, when she cried out to God, she cried out to Him. She said she felt a hand on her shoulder. And a voice said, "Child, I am here." See, there's certain times in our lives where God, He knows that we need to feel something. And He'll meet that request, because we're reaching out by faith. Faith is the key. And God, when something happens in your body, you're going to feel something. And it's the power and it's the anointing and it's the love of God. And that changes you. If you've read your bulletin, there's something in there that talks about repentance. We're going to discuss that a little bit this morning. But true repentance changes direction, and you change to God. And when He sees a true heart repented toward Him, He pours Himself out. As the praise and worship team was singing this morning and talking about the presence of the Lord, and us coming together, two of us coming together in His presence, I just seen, and it wasn't a vision, but I just seen, we've been filled with the presence and the power of God. It's no longer out there. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. And when we come together, think about a cup of oil or a bowl, that we all have our oil this morning. We're coming in with our bowls. And when we come together, we just all pour it out. We all pour it out in one place. We're pouring out the presence of God. We're coming together, and it just creates a bigger bowl for bigger things to happen. Amen. God, fill our bowls. Once we emptied out, Lord, fill it again. Because see, run it over. See, once you pour yourself out into somebody's life, you share something with them, you need to be filled again. See, just don't think that once you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues, that's it. It's a continuous filling. Now, He doesn't fill you to speak in tongues again or be baptized in the Spirit. That happens one time, but there's a continuous filling of His presence and of His power. And joy and wisdom. He's got more than we need, and we need more of it. Amen. While we're down here in this earthen vessel. Well, you might think, somebody might be saying, "Well, I'm not worthy of His glory." Yes, you are. Because Jesus made you worthy. You might say, "Well, I'm a dirty vessel. His glory can't fill a dirty vessel." You better hope it did, because that's the only way you can get born again. And then, it's all by grace. It's nothing you did. It's nothing I did. It's all what He did. Thank you, Jesus. So receive His gift and then have a desire to give it to somebody else. Amen? Because that's His purpose, is to fill us all with His glory. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Goes right along with what the Lord wants us to know today and every day. Fear. Yeah, that's the devil's. That's his main weapon. Is fear. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. The God of the Bible. See, there's the difference. In a lot of churches, that unless you believe the God of the Bible, then you're not subject to know how to keep that spirit of fear out. And that doesn't mean you just come to church on Sunday and go home and you're going to be able to keep that fear out. You've got to walk in the truth. You've got to walk in the light as He is in the light. See, darkness is out there. Your enemy is always out there, but you've got to keep your battle armor on to guard your mind. This mind that also was in Christ Jesus. Jesus walked on this earth full of God, but He had opposition. But He always did what He heard the Father. See, He was always communication. Today, we're going to be focusing on Jesus. That's not the title of the message, but this is what God's been speaking to me all week, is focus on me. Focus on Jesus. See, we're living in no different time than Jesus did. The devil just wants to paint it all different. Because Jesus said, as when He returns, it's going to be as the days of Noah was, so shall it be in the end time. See, it's already happened in the earth. History has a way of repeating itself. But God's going to take care of all this one day. It's like a book. He's turning the pages day by day. The book's being turned until He gets to the end of the book. And then it's going to be closed up, because there's another book that's going to be opened up. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And all those names that are written in that have a new destination, which is heaven. A new earth. Also said a new earth, a new heaven. Because we're going to get to live on that new earth like we were supposed to in the beginning. So God's going to set it, He's going to set all the stuff straight. But all this stuff that we're going to continue to hear as the world gets darker, as the ungodly people just continue in ungodliness, saying they know God, but in the latter days, the Bible says, they're going to call good evil, and evil is going to be called good. So don't look at all that. Just follow Jesus. If He said it, we can't stop it from coming, but we don't have to give it access to us.
It is written.
Come on up here, Michelle, and preach my message this morning. See, that's God. It's written. That's my third note, but the main word God wants you to hear, Vicki's already heard it this morning, and we all going to hear it, is access denied. Access denied. It's what, because we're going to focus on Jesus, and anything outside of Him has no access. But you've got to enforce that. Amen. I've got to enforce that. Not by what I know, but by who I know. I know in whom I have believed. Jesus focused on the mission God gave Him while He was on this earth. The devil put all kind of people across His path. He said, I've given you power to cast out devils. Some of them you might have to cast out. But some of those people want to keep those devils. You can't cast them out because they have a free will. But there's some that's been captive that they didn't know, ignorant. They've been ignorant of the devil's devices because they've ignored it. They don't know. Nobody's told them. A lot of the church, and I'm not sure the percentage, but I've heard this, a lot of the church don't even believe there's a devil. I can't find that in my Bible not to be true. Jesus, when He showed up and started His ministry, there's more written about the devil in Matthew than the whole Old Testament. He was only mentioned twice in the Old Testament. Lucifer, Job, and that was mostly in the book of Job. Because, see, God's not going to show you an enemy that you don't have no way to defeat it. He's not going to show you all that because they didn't have the name of Jesus. Job was just relying on the word that had been passed down, and it was the oldest book in the Bible, so a lot of it hadn't really been written yet, written down. It was just passed down from what he'd heard. So Job was relying on tradition. Let me start where I need to start here. I'm kind of getting all over this message. But you need to get a vision of devil access denied. In other words, you remember the children of Israel, when God told them He was bringing them out, He was taking them out to the promised land. It took a lot of plagues on Pharaoh before Pharaoh let God's people go. I think God could have done it without Pharaoh even being there. But He made a point. He made a point against sin. That's why the law was given. You need to really know what the law was there. It was there to show why sin is so bad. And why if you don't have a relationship with God, how hard your heart can be. That's Pharaoh. So he wasn't serving the God. He was serving the gods of Egypt. And he was so bound up by them that when the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sent Moses and told him to let his people go, that's all he had to do was let them go. His heart was hard because, man, these are my slaves. This is my source. So he was looking to these people as a source, and he wasn't serving God. And his heart became hardened. Matthew 7:1 is where we're going to start at. But this access denied, you've got to get a vision like the children of Israel. Moses told them to take a lamb and slaughter it and take the blood and take that blood and put it on the doorpost of your door, on the top, and on the sides. It represented the cross. And he said, do not go out of this house because the death angel is coming. So you need to see, you need to put this on your house, your spiritual house, to tell the devil, access denied. Because our faith is in the blood of Jesus. And He has already offered Himself once for all mankind and offered His blood, sprinkled His blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Therefore, granting Satan no access. Bulls and goats, the blood of bulls and goats could not keep Satan out of your mind. But the blood of Jesus can. I said the blood of Jesus can, and the blood of Jesus has. But you have to enforce it. The blood's been sprinkled. That means the power's been made available to us. We have access into the throne of grace. And that we might have find mercy there too. But see, we also have, as believers, we can open up the door to the devil and let him come in. But as long as we know who we are and walk in the truth as we're in the truth, we can keep Satan out by access denied because of the blood of Jesus. Access denied. Matthew 7:1, how are we going to do this? What's going to help us? This might not sound good to your flesh. Somebody read me verse 1 while I'm coming back. Judge not. That's not the end of it. That you be not judged. There's one judge. He sits on the throne in heaven. Jesus said, my Father, he judges, and his judgment is true. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Jesus said, hypocrites, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly, to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. We're to judge not that person. Because take yourself back before you came to Christ. You needed help. I needed a Savior. I needed somebody to witness to me. I didn't need somebody to judge me. I needed somebody to love me. Right? That's what Christ did. That's what God did. He judged. The devil was judged. When Jesus hung on that cross, remember Jesus talking to his disciples the night before he was going to be crucified? He said, while I'm in the world, he said, don't fast, don't pray while the light is here. Walk, because there's coming a time when the darkness is coming and you're going to stumble. But while the light, while I'm here, listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. And he went to that cross. He said, because I'm going and you can't come right now. He said, the God of this world is judged. He was talking about Satan, the little god of this world. Once Jesus went to the cross, judgment came. God poured all his wrath, all of his judgment out on his son, Jesus. And through that death, burial, and resurrection, now he got the keys back for us. Satan was judged. That death of all mankind, that Adam, that treason that happened was judged once and forever. Satan was judged. See, and he talked about the principality, said, man, if they would have knew what they had done, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, the devil, he's spiritually dyslexic. He doesn't understand spiritual things. He doesn't know the end of the journey. He knows his end, but he doesn't know your end. Because, see, that's hidden. Your future is hidden in Christ. He knows we win, but he's trying to deceive even the elect in the last days. It says even the elect could be deceived. Could be deceived. But we're going to talk about access denied. We're going to be those ones that we have access to the throne of God, and we're not going to be denied what Jesus paid for, right? Because the violent says, the violent take it before us. Now, Michelle made a good point with the guns and stuff, but that's not our force. That's our God-given right to protect our home. And that's okay, but we don't use guns. We don't use swords. Peter cut off one of the soldier's ears. Jesus said, he put his ear back on. He said, Peter, those that live by the sword die by the sword. There's another way we fight. With our words. Curse not, but bless, that they may receive a blessing. Some will receive, some will won't. You keep on walking. You know, let those words, let them fight with God's words, not your words. So you speak the truth in love, they either have to receive it or they got to fight against it. Paul fought against it for a long time, and then Jesus revealed himself to us. He cried out. He was doing it ignorantly. If I can't judge, because God says, judge not that you be not judged. If I can't judge, what do I do? Focus on Jesus. Get your binoculars out. If I can't judge, because my flesh wants to judge it. But if I judge, I'm setting myself up for judgment. Focus on the Lord. Everything that's happening in the world, don't give it no place. Don't give it no place. Now, there's a time and a place for you to stand your ground if you have to in what you believe. Because we have the freedom of speech here in this world, and that's our God-given ability. Remember when they locked Peter up, where they took him and they whipped him and beat him, said, "You can no more preach in the name of Jesus." They whipped him and beat him, and he looked at him and said, "God be the judge whether I should preach in the name of Jesus or not. But God be the judge and not you." And they let him go. Because that was his right to, and what he believed in. You can lock me up, you can whip me, but you can't tell me what I can't say. I'm going to preach in the name of Jesus. See, the devil doesn't want, he doesn't have a problem with God, the word God being displayed. It's when you get Jesus in there. That's when it gets personal. They don't want you to talk about Jesus. You talk about God because, see, a lot of people, there's different gods out here. But there's only one God we serve, and His Son, whom He sent, His Son Jesus. So we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, and you start talking about Jesus, them devils start going crazy. They get upset. Those religious devils, unclean devils. And if, just a quick note out there, if somebody doesn't believe that Jesus met all kind of people as He walked, there was all kind of sin in His day. Homosexuality, sodomy, murderers, thieves, bank, any tax collectors that were robbing, that's thieves. Homosexuals was more unclean spirits. They were unclean spirits that cried out. Jesus didn't point at names, but if they came to Him and said, all that came to Him, they got delivered. He was preaching. Let me go on. We're not to judge. I'm not to judge. I'm to love. Focus on Jesus, which is love. What did He do? If I can't judge, what do? I focus on Jesus. If I focus on Jesus, I got to go read and see what Jesus did. When Jesus was baptized, chapter 4 starting here, Jesus was led up, this is after He was baptized in the Jordan. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, if You are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But He answered, Jesus said, it is written, Michelle, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took Him up into the holy city, set Him on the pinnacle of the temple, took Him to church. The devil took Jesus to church. So you tell me the devil's at church? Oh yeah, he hangs out there. And said to Him, if You are the Son of God, throw Yourself down, for it is written. See, now he's saying something. This is what's written, Jesus. Mocking God. He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall dash you up, lest you bear your feet against a stone. You need to know the Word of God. Because see, the devil knows the Word, but he's going to try to pervert it to make it say what it doesn't say. So you need to know the Word. That's how those people are going to be, that's how they're different. That's how they're not going to be in fear going to church, because they don't have a spirit of fear, because God didn't give me a spirit of fear. But if you don't read the Bible, you don't know that. If you don't have a relationship with God, you don't know that. You think God gives you that fear if you don't know Him. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took Him up on an exceedingly high mountain, somewhere Moses had been at one time, and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And He said to Him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship Me. The devil said that as a truth. Because all the kingdoms, all the powers, see, that used to be Adam's. But through transgression, through trespasses, Adam gave it over to the devil. He had that authority. Because there were some kings, wicked kings, that were set up. They were being possessed by the devil. But Jesus said to him, away with you, get thee behind Me, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him. In other words, Jesus said, access denied, three times. Access denied, because I know what the Bible says also. And the devil left him. And behold, angels came and strengthened. See, the devil wanted him to get to use that power to self-satisfy himself with that hunger. See, that was the devil's way. You know, you're hungry, Jesus. You know, you got the power. Take this and make it into a Bojangles biscuit with butter on it. But see, we don't want nothing the devil has to offer. And after we submit to God and resist him and he leaves, angels, God's angels, not demons, not devils, angels. See, these were fallen angels that was talking to Jesus. Jesus knew the ones that were from his Father. Ministering spirits set forth to minister to those that are heirs of salvation. That's the ones, and they came and they ministered to Jesus. Food from heaven. I don't know. They gave him strength. It strengthened him. I remember in the Old Testament, God would set a cake and a prophet ate a cake and went long ways running in the strength of that cake. I think it was maybe being Elijah of something that an angel came and gave him. I'd rather have God's food than man's food, which the devil has tainted with all his deception and lies and bacteria. See, all this stuff didn't used to be here. It's because of the fall. I'm not saying all of it. You know, God designed everything for a purpose except for sin. In him there is no darkness. So Jesus said, access denied three times. Shut the door. Shut the door on the devil. So we can't judge. What do? We focus on Jesus. We do what he did. When the temptation comes, we've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared. He prepared himself over 30 years. He wasn't just working for daddy. He was working in the word. You know, he was about his father's business, which was his heavenly father too. So what are we going to preach? What are we going to do? Can't judge. We've got to focus on Jesus. What did he do? He took it to the devil, but he had the power of God working on the inside of him. He was anointed. So what do we do? What do we say? What do we preach? We preach the gospel. It is written. We preach. Let me get there. What are we to preach? The gospel of repentance. And I put a little bit in your bulletin this morning talking about repentance. We studied it over here on Wednesday night in our discipleship evangelism course, talking about repentance. But what does it really mean to repent? Remember when John the Baptist came to help Jesus preach this gospel? And he was out in the wilderness, just like Jesus, preparing. Jesus was all those years getting ready. John was he was brought up by the Essenes. Have you ever heard about the Essenes? They're a really religious sect, E-S-C-C-E-N-S-E-S, the Essenes. They were pretty much drilled in the law. This is kind of extreme, but the law was really stern. Talking about the law of Moses. They took it so much that you didn't, on the Sabbath day, you kept it. It was holy. You didn't do no work. They went extreme. They said you don't even have a bowel movement on the Sabbath day. They considered that work. See, that's extreme. I mean, you know the law. This is what John the Baptist was brought up under. But he also had the Spirit of God preparing him. And he was out preaching the gospel. Prepare the way. He was there to prepare the way for the journey that Jesus would come in on. Prepare the way. Repent. He had a message of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was we talking about earlier this morning? We can reach out and touch God. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's coming. He's here. He's already, John said it's at hand. He's looking for him. He's looking for Jesus until they got to the River Jordan. That divine connection when they got to the River Jordan and he baptized Jesus. And John, God had given him a vision. He said, the one who you see, the dove, light upon him, this is the one. And that happened when the Holy Spirit came down as a dove and anointed Jesus. John knew this was the one. This is the one. And God spoke in an audible voice and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." But John didn't feel worthy to baptize Jesus. He knew this was the one. He's like, "Jesus, I need you to baptize me." But Jesus looked at his cousin and said, "Not now, John. Don't argue with me. Just do what God's prepared here, that all righteousness may be fulfilled." We're going to do it right, John. We got to preach this gospel right, folks, to get people born again and disciple them and let them know who they are, so that we can have that access denied and not let the devil come in and, I like how Andrew says, come in and eat your lunch and pop the bag, because that's what he's out to do. He wants to sit at your table, fellowship with you, and get you into error, because his main purpose is to kill you prematurely. Because if you're doing the work for God, he's definitely assigned. He's assigned to us. So he's in charge over the ones that are in rebellion with him. See, you think you're fighting the devil. A lot of times it's not him particularly. It's his cohorts. You know, the president's not going to come out here and just attack everyone. He's going to send troops. He's got his place wherever he's at. But what does it mean to truly repent? See, we're to preach this gospel of repentance. Not penance, repentance. Penance is what I can do for God to earn his acceptance. But repentance is what John was preaching. Repent means to... Repentance is not perfection, but a change in direction. See, you don't have to be perfect to serve God. You just got to have a heart of repentance. You got to be willing to change your mind to what God's mind is. This was the day that was coming. Repentance is not perfection, but a change in direction. It's a change of mind, a change of heart that causes a person to turn. That's what repent means. It means to turn around and move in another direction. In another direction. So you're saying the direction we were going, God, wasn't right direction? Exactly. See, that's what John was saying. He was preparing the way for the way maker, Jesus. Amen. The gospel's at hand. Listen, they'd heard the law for 2,000 years after Moses. 2,000 years span before Jesus came. Roughly, 2,000 years. How many generations, just roughly, would that be? If you live to be 80 or 900, that's 20 generations that they've heard the law. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not covet. And then there's a lot more that's involved in that. That's just the Ten Commandments. But if you study it out, there's a lot of law. There's over 500 laws. Levitical laws. Dietary laws. All kind of laws that they had heard. It had been grounded in them, rooted in them. But there's another law coming. The law of love. The law of love supersedes the law of man, which came by Moses. It was the law of God, the Ten Commandments, but it was given to let us know how bad we need God. How far we had turned away from God. The law was given to make sin in their bodies come alive. It was a ministry of death, the Bible tells us, in the New Testament. Another main reason that we're not to judge, let's go over to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, access denied, Satan. 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm just going to start in verse 1, we're going to go down to verse probably 9. But God's promise, he's not slack. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle. This is to the church. I stir up your pure minds. That word pure right there in the Greek means literally tested by sunlight. Your pure minds that are tested by sunlight. The thought is that of judging something by sunlight to expose any flaws. If I'm going to judge anybody, somebody tell me who I can judge. Me. Me. Judge me. If I'll judge myself, I won't be judged. Stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. Are we in the last days? Scoffers, mocking. Get these Ten Commandments out of here. This is offensive to me. Scoffers, mockers. Focus on Jesus. I know that's bad. I mean, still, we're not to fight. Jesus didn't go to Herod. He didn't go to the king of Judah. He went to God the Father. He had a mission. It had nothing to do with politics. This is going to come in the last days. Walking according to their own lust. To their own lust. Not to what God has blessed them with. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? These are those that are saying that Jesus ain't coming the second time. He's already come. You've missed it. There's no resurrection. If God was here, He'd be setting all, you know, He wouldn't be letting all this happen. Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with the water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of who? Ungodly men. See, God's going to destroy this earth with fire. We're not going to destroy it. Man's not going to destroy it by all the pollutants we're putting in the air. Yeah, we need to be good stewards of what's given us, but we're not going to destroy it. God's going to destroy it. Because sin is destroying it from the beginning. It's got to be changed. It's got to be made new. But beloved, Peter's saying, he's speaking to us now, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years one day. See, they were talking about God's not coming. He's looking upon all this. He's not coming. He's forgot about y'all. But see, they're looking at it on man's timetable. It's been thousands of years, but to God it's only been a day or two. Amen? See, they're looking at what they can see in the natural, but God's eternal. All this suffering that's going on, they try to paint God a bad picture. You know, why does God let all this suffering go on for thousands of years? To Him, it's only a minute, a day, a second. But He wants us for eternity. Number 9, Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. God, when God says it's wrong, it's sin, it's sin. And if He says this is the effect of sin, it's going to happen. If it ain't happened yet, you just ain't been judged yet. You've been given mercy. You need to straighten up because judgment's coming if you stay out of God's plan. And some, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise as some count slackness, but He is who? He is long-suffering. Long-suffering. Toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, we don't put the time frame on when God says that's enough is enough. We're not to judge them. And that's the point I want to get to. Another main reason to judge what we're talking about here, we do not know where they are in their convictions. See, they could be right at the point they're ready to give their life to Christ, and then we judge them. And then they're like, well, I don't need to be a Christian. If this is Christianity, I don't need this. I don't need to be judged. We don't understand. We know this. Before you came to Christ, I knew I was a sinner. Nobody had to tell me. The Bible tells me in Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The heavens declare that there is a God. And on the inside of me, Romans tells me that the inward man, even if nobody preaches the gospel, I have an intuitive knowledge on the inside of me that knows that there is a God. And I'm not it. There's a God vacuum on the inside of each one of us that's drawing us to God, but we have the free will and free choice to deny it, give it no access, or to fully open up the door and let God come in. That's truly repentance. When you open up your heart and let God have access to your life and He comes in, that's a repentant heart. God can answer that prayer. He can answer that cry. Because until then, if you don't, you're in pride. You're full of the devil, full of pride, full of the devil. Just got to be blunt. The Bible says he is the author of pride, strife, arguing, debate. But see, just because we fall into that, even though we're born again, judge yourself. If not, God's not going to judge you, but the Word, he's already judged Christ. But we can step out of that and get ourselves out here in the devil's territory, because if we judge somebody, then we can open up the door to the devil. Not God's judgment, but the devil's been judged. And he's trying to get everybody, he wants somebody to share his judgment with, what God has punished him with. He has no repentance. The devil has no repentance. So why is he so angry? He can't be saved. He knows his destiny is to burn forever, separated from God. And he wants to bring as many people down as he can, especially those that know God, the Christians, the church. And he's relentless at that. So that's why we're not to judge. We don't know where people are. They could be right at that point to where they've heard this, but then somebody finally ministered the truth, and then we come back here and try to give them the law. You need to quit smoking. You need to quit drinking. You need to get your life straightened out if you're going to serve God. We've heard all that. We know all that when you're a sinner. But what they need to hear is the gospel. The gospel that the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what Jesus was ministering. Love. If somebody asks you for your coat, give him two. If he asks you to go 1 mile, go two. Just go out of your way to love this person and show them the love of God. That's the gospel. The gospel is not, you old sinner, you've sinned, you've committed this, you've done this. See, that's not good news. It's not good news to tell somebody you're all this sin and where you're going. See, that's not good news. The good news is, how do I not go there? The good news, the gospel, is that God sent his son Jesus, full of grace and truth, and provided a way that you can get your relationship back with God. It's not about even getting your sins forgiven. The gospel is to get you back in fellowship with God. Prepare the way for the Lord. Open up your hearts. Fathers, turn your hearts back. That's what John was doing. Turn the father's heart back to God. If I get God in me, the sin will be flushed out. Once I receive Christ, I'm born again. There's sin still working in my body. When I got born again, I had no more desire to drink. That addiction, possession that was given to me by an unclean spirit when I received it in, because my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. But when I received Christ, that the Spirit of God drove that desire out. But I still smoked. I'd been smoking, but that wasn't taken away. But what I didn't, the way God helped me there is I got into the Word and I found out that my body was a temple of the Holy Ghost, and I had a desire to please God. I was putting His Word in me, and what that done, that gave me the power to resist that addiction that I had. I wasn't doing it to please my wife, to please my family. I was doing it to please God. Are you saying if you sin, you're going to hell? No. The sin that's going to keep you from hell is rejecting Jesus. All these other sins, the sins in the body, all these things. If you don't love your wife the way Christ loved the church, that's a sin. The Bible says, if I know to do good and don't do it, to him that is sin. That's not going to keep me from hell, keep me from heaven, I mean. But it's going to not work a good relationship with my wife and with God, because it's not going to keep God away from me, but it's going to keep me turned away from God. Do you see what I'm saying? The only sin that's going to keep you from God is the rejection of His sacrifice, His gift, His Son. That's the only way to the Father. And when you receive Him, your sin debts have been paid for, past, present, and future. When Christ died, sins of all mankind were taken in Him and taken to hell. They were paid for, atoned for. When His blood was offered on the mercy seat, your sins are forgiven. The ones you're going to commit when you walk out of here, and somebody gives you the finger because you're going too slow, that sin's forgiven. But you have to choose, Satan, I'm not allowing you access into my mind. I bless them in the name of Jesus. Lord, slow them down. They got kids in there, Lord. See, they were trying to get to the K&W before you were. K&W. You see why we're not supposed to judge? Because the devil's trying to get in your house. Not God. God, if you've received Him, He's in you. He is within you. And he's trying to keep the devil out of your life, out of your body. We say, well, I'm fighting something and I don't know how to overcome it. Quit fighting it. Quit fighting it. If you come up here and tell me, well, I prayed, Pastor, I gave my tithes Sunday, I prayed, I fasted all week, but I'm still battling this. You've just told me why you're battling it. You're doing it. You're doing the work. You've got to rest. You've got to rest in Jesus. In the finished work. It's finished. The finished work of the cross. You've got to rest in that. And when the devil sees you resting, access denied, he's got to pack up his bag and get out of there. You enforce the word. Devil, I'm resting. Jesus, show him your backs if you're dealing with healing. If you're dealing with sickness, Jesus, would you show the devil your back? Would you take your robe off, Jesus? And when the devil sees those stripes, you point him, you see those stripes, devil, that's my healing. Jesus paid for it. So you need to take your sickness and get out of here. Show him the word. Show him the sacrifice that Jesus, that's the atonement. And God is there to manifest, to drive him out. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil just by showing him, pointing him to the promises by faith. And he's got to go. And you fight the good fight of faith. You do what you need to do in the meantime. You build yourself up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in tongues. Because the devil's going to fight you in your mind. You're going to feel the pain, whatever you're battling. You're going to feel that pain. Jesus bore the pain for you. You tell the pain. Pain's got a name. Pain, Jesus bore this. He took my pain. Pain, I command you to cease. Healing, you come forth. I receive it by faith right now. Access denied. Jesus has paid the price. I got to focus on Jesus. I got to do what the Lord says. I got to pursue righteousness. It's been given to me. I have right standing with God, and I'm going to pursue this. And I'm going to fight for what's been given to me. That's what our fathers did. That's what the founding fathers did. They fought for what they believed in. And we got to fight. We've got to occupy until he comes. No occupancy, but Jesus is loud in here. There's no vacancy. There's vacancy. No room. No room. Access denied if it does not belong to Jesus. It does not belong to you. Right? All the promises of God are yay and amen. In him there is no sickness. There is no darkness. So if sickness has got a hold of you, if something's battling you, if financial burdens are hitting you, access denied, God is saying today. Access denied. Paint it on the forefront of your mind. Access denied. Jesus has paid my price. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm speaking it by the word of God. I've heard so many testimonies today. There's battles going on in the bodies out here in these pews this morning. Battles that I can't fight for you, but I'm going to declare something. I'm declaring it this morning that you got to give it. The access is denied. God has set me over this church right now to oversee this flock, this congregation, this pastor. I command access denied, whatever's coming against you right now, spirit, soul, or body, financial, sickness, disease, I don't care. Access is denied today in the name of Jesus. I don't care what the doctor's report's showing. I'm declaring what the report of the Lord says. You are free. You are free from this. Free from this. Now, I'm speaking against the devil right now in the name of Jesus. I'm declaring you set free. You're righteous. You are holy. You are made free from sickness, sin, and disease, and poverty in Jesus' name. He who the Son sets free, you're free indeed. And Satan, I'm speaking to a principalities and powers right now that have a hold, that think they have a hold. They think they have a hold, but access is denied this morning. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus over you, declaring your promises in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says, let the weak say I am strong. I'm saying you're strong this morning. I'm speaking to weaknesses in you and saying you're strong. You are strong. Access denied in Jesus' name.